Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we discuss a very pressing modern issue and we ask, is The Sims a game?
No, that's very pressing.
Well, not really, I suppose. But is Pulsar, The Last Colony, a sim or a game?
That's more pressing.
That is more like relevant, I suppose. Probably still not a very pressing question.
It's more actually what we're talking about.
It is, it is. But before we get to that, I want to do a bit of news wrap up and stuff. I want to say that more licensed games being terrible, Gollum, it's just a massive turd.
I heard. Yeah.
Looks bad, plays bad. The whole, like, what are they doing with Lord of the Rings? I'm okay because the Lord of the Rings franchise, which I love, and more garbage out of them is terrible when they could just make another Mordor game.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, I don't know what, who owns that or who owns the estate? Like, cause I know Christopher passed away, I think, Tolkien's son, who was running it, and he was not keen on a lot of the stuff that got produced anyway, kind of thing. But it seems like whoever's in charge now gives.
Anyone.
Just go for whatever, it. You know, that's really interesting.
You want to do a Gollum toilet simulator? Go for it.
Go for it. Exciting news.
Yes, very.
Sony putting Ratchet & Clank on PC.
Oh, really?
Yes, into the Nexus, coming to PC this year, okay, I think.
There you go.
Of course, the Sony ports, as we've discussed, have not been
ideal.
The best, no. But I did read the people who were doing this port have done other ports and they were really good. So once again, you know, it's more developer than it is something to do with
the actual technology of porting.
Yeah. So I am, fingers crossed, Tony, because it's the one, like, amazing. Not only is it Ratchet Clank on PC, it's one that I haven't played before, which is like a double. Like, I'm like, this is Christmas. This is a fantastic. I won't buy it on release because I want to see how it performs and probably give it a patch, but I'll definitely pick it up. I'll probably pay full price for it because I really want to play that game.
That's good.
Yeah, Into the Nexus, yeah. Even though I can play every other Ratchet & Clank if I wanted to on my computer because I've got them all emulated, I still want to play the most recent one that I haven't played before and I will pay for that. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. And a similar vein, so Warhammer had a conference or like a Warhammer convention weekend, or I can't remember, the name's eluding me now.
Oh, WDC, is that what it was?
No, that's the Apple thing.
What's the Warhammer one? What's the Warhammer one then?
I don't know. I can't remember now. I'm trying to. Anyway, it was a Games Workshop festival of Warhammer where every single Warhammer game that's coming out got announced.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like so many got announced all at once. So we've got Warhammer Rogue Trader.
Yep.
Which is some sort of ship combat thing done by the Kingmaker people, which is why that piqued my interest. Something to keep an eye out for. There's Warhammer Soldier, a sequel to that one. That one got a particularly good rap on the first go around. I don't feel like any Warhammer stuff's ever really gotten.
Warhammer Space Marine.
I wrote Soldier down. It might be Space Marine. I could have.
Maybe I know that they're. I know that they're finally releasing a sequel to Space Marine,
right? Maybe it's
which was Space supposed Marine. To be a trilogy,
right? Okay, so maybe they'll.
Yeah.
The second one that looks.
And the game ends on a cliffhanger.
Right. There was a new Total War variant,
of course there was.
As well.
Yeah.
And the most important one, a crossover with Power Washer.
Power Washer.
Yeah, it's a Power Wash Simulator. You go and power wash stuff. They got like a Warhammer crossover of that to like, you know,
of
clean
course.
Warhammer stuff or whatnot.
Yes,
which I thought
of
was
course.
A great little. Crossover, but like lots of
power
Warhammer
armor, power
stuff.
Washer.
Someone made the point that probably Viscera cleanup might be more appropriate for Warhammer.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. Also, another little tidbit. Maybe I knew this and I'd forgotten, but Blizzard Warcraft.
Mm.
That game was supposed to be a Warhammer licensed property at the start.
Oh, okay.
And they lost the license, and
right.
they just
made it orcs versus humans.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why. And when you look at it. StarCraft and Warcraft are almost like insane, but they're very similar in their sort of like, you know, some of the concepts and aesthetics and things like that sort of do flow across both. And having like a future IP and a past IP, you can sort of see all these things they probably had planned out for the Warhammer franchise and lost it and then just went, well, we'll make these games anyway. We'll just make our own thing and, you know,
we'll make our own IP.
Yeah, fascinating. That was really interesting. Anyway, so that was the Warhammer catch up. In most important news, I'm up to the semifinals in Rollerdrome. I just need to get another 10 challenges, and then I'm onto the grand finals, baby.
Oh, there you go.
Oh man, that was a step up in like intensity. They really do like eat the when you go to the next like rank, they really like bring it.
You know, kind of
thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's taken a lot more time for me to get to the last three matches than it did most of the rest of it, kind of thing.
You know? Okay,
just in sheer volume. I've added like new enemies each time, but the volume of enemies you got to deal with, kind of thing, and the challenges, as expected, are getting much more difficult.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Although there was one that was like shoot three people while doing super reflex, which is getting the exact perfect timing on the dodges. I was dodging so much that just by playing the level, I got the three super reflexes.
Just by pure fluke.
Just brute forced it out because there was so much stuff going on, kind of thing. Every 2 seconds I'm dodging, you know. Crazy, crazy. Yes, but I'm keen to hear how Marvel Midnight Suns wrapped up for you.
I'm sure you are.
Yes. And she's just going to leave it there. That's just it.
I'm going to try and keep my emotions in check.
Oh.
Because if a game is only as good as its final mission, then Marvel Midnight Suns is terrible.
Yeah, okay. I'm a big believer in the journey is just as important as the ending.
Yes.
You know, I've read plenty of Stephen King books and, you know.
The ending's usually not great.
No. Yeah. So, you know, you get sort of, you know, I do feel that like, you know, it does, without a doubt, take something that could have been like incredible and just you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the final mission, no good, eh?
Well, so the problem is it should be really good.
Yeah.
And it probably is really good, but again, they've made ridiculous design choices.
Yeah.
So the first nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Is you finally the spoilers here. So if you don't want to know the spoilers, turn off. Yep. Obviously talking about the end of the game, spoilers. Yep. But so first nail in the coffin is you finally get the Hulk on your team.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Right.
In the second to last mission. And he starts with no skills. So he's a great big green turd.
Yeah.
He's useless. Well, he's Hulk, but he's useless.
It's like, it's really bad progression because you really want to have these guys like that final character should come like 2/3. So you have a full third of the game still to go through with the full team and really like to get to play out.
Exactly, not in the second to last mission. So it's artificially extending the length of the game by making you play missions with the Hulk to level him up.
Right, yeah. So you got to go back and then do
No, you don't have to go back. So the final mission, you have to talk to the caretaker to unlock the final mission.
Yeah.
So you can just keep going to the mission table and doing whatever missions you want. And just keep grinding and grinding and grinding as much as you like.
Okay. So, okay. I see. So there's like, yes, it's like all sort of good side quests. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's okay. I don't hate that. I was a bit annoyed. I was ready for the game to end. Yeah. I ground the Hulk up a bit to get his ultimate power is ridiculously powerful. It is super overpowered.
So it's even.
But again, he is the last character you get, and you get him in the second to last mission. So what does it matter? I don't think, okay, well, this is good. His ultimate ability is so powerful, it's going to be really great for the final mission.
Mm.
No, wrong, incorrect. So the build-up to the final mission is pretty impressive. Your entire squad, every character you've unlocked, comes with you.
Okay.
So none of this, just three of you going out. Everyone comes out. Everyone goes out. The story itself was actually really good. I'm very impressed with what they did with the story. I did not expect the twists that came at all.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So that was good.
Yeah.
But what they do is you've been playing the game so far with three characters going to the missions.
Yeah.
Right. What they do is they take the four characters out of your whole stable, the four characters that you have the highest friendship relationship with.
Oh, so that's all.
Okay. So the little sim game.
Yeah.
The four characters that you have the highest relationship with, they take them out and they lock them away. Yeah, locked away.
Oh, what?
Then they give you, and your character gets locked away. So your avatar is locked away. Okay. So now you have every other character in the game, but you play three at a time, but you can drop them out one at a time. You can drop one out, but once you drop them out, they're out for the rest of the fight. They're out for good.
Okay.
So I'm playing it on the ultimate one, third to highest difficulty level.
Okay.
Okay, so there's only two difficulty levels higher than ultimate.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah.
But I've got some good characters, and there's all these nice buffs that they put in the last mission. So the extra buffs. So yeah. Do all right. Wolverine cuts sick. He slaughters everything except for the boss. Wounds the boss. The Hulk does his super overpowered ability, but he doesn't really need it anymore because you're pretty much in control at this point.
Yeah.
Iron Man releases his, okay, the boss is dead. I haven't had to use any of my other characters. So Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel. I can't even think. Magic. So the characters, they don't even get a show in. No, yeah, no point. Right. Might as well not even be there.
Yeah.
So bingo, bango, boss defeated. Mission continues. Now, what happened now is each one of those four characters that are locked away, you release them one at a time.
Okay.
But the mission hasn't ended. It's still the same mission. So all your limited number of times only per mission counter is still going.
Right.
So if you've already used your resurrection in the previous bit, you've got no resurrection left.
And there's no clue about this going in. There's going to be some sort of multi-stage, multi-thing happen. Yeah.
And so now the other thing. Remember that the four characters that got locked away are the four characters that you had the highest relationship with.
Yes.
And let me remind you that the whole game is built around synergizing your deck with the characters you're playing. Can you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So, I unlock my first character. I go, okay, fine. It's Blade. He's powerful. No problem.
Yeah.
This is tough. So, you get four middle strength enemies and six up top strength enemies that aren't bosses.
Nah.
And then two to three of them get ultra buffed. So you got some, none of your cards are going to one hit kill anything anymore.
Yeah.
You've now only got two characters.
Yeah.
Not three.
Mm.
You still only got three card plays that you can do. So, Now the gods chip in and they give you some really powerful buff cards. So I'm doing really, really, really well. Then Blade gets one-shotted by one of the buffed up ultra powerful characters. And go, okay, that's fine. Blade's been one-shotted. The game ends. Okay. I don't know why the game ended. That's fine. I can live with that. I'll restart it again. I have to kill those guys because they can one-shot, one-hit kill me. Okay. So now I ignore the little guys completely. Yep. I focus all my power on one of the big guys and take him out.
Okay. That's
good. I manage to stun one of the other big guys so he can't take his action. And I take the third one out somehow. I can't remember what I did. Confused it or got it blood taunted. Somehow it wasn't attacking me.
So
the three mega guys don't attack me.
Okay.
I survive the little guys attacking me, the medium strength guys attacking me. I actually survive it.
Okay.
Go through, build up my so my deck, my hand now is 10 cards. I've got 10 cards in my deck. I've got 10 heroism points. So now I cut sick and I managed to kill the three buffed up dudes.
Beautiful.
Okay. So what happens when you kill the three buffed up dudes is you get another card that you not the hunter, the ally they're with has to use that card. It's free, so you don't need a card play to play it. You play it, it kills every other enemy on the board and locks that character away.
Okay.
And then the hunter goes and unlocks the next character to join the hunter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. So, all right. Everything resets. Your cards, you see your deck empties out. You've got no cards in your hand. There's no enemies on the board. Everything's good. You end your turn. New enemies spawn in, just as tough as before.
Okay.
And I mentioned that I had 10 cards in my hand when I finished the last one. I've now got no cards in my hand because it emptied my deck.
Yeah.
I'm going, okay, that's okay. I'll get some cards.
Yeah.
Oh, my heroism's down to low, so I can't use my heroism cards. I've got to use my other cards. That's okay. I've got Nico Minuro, and Nico Minuro is a support character.
Okay.
And I've set up my hunter to be also a support character. So I'm going, right, I've got two support characters. This could be problematic.
Yeah.
I'm playing on ultimate difficulty, so lo and behold, Nico Minuro gets one shot killed.
Yep.
And I go, okay.
Sounds about right.
So I've got no resurrects left because I used the resurrect on the first mission, so okay. And so because Nico Minuro is dead and I can't resurrect her, she can't even lock the seal, So it's game over. Okay, I get that.
Right.
So my choices are to go back to the main menu or to restart encounter. So obviously I'm going to restart encounter.
Yeah.
I go back to Blade. The four characters are all locked up again and Blade. With Blade. Right back to the start. Not right back to the start. So I've got my resurrection back and I can do the first bit better.
But back to the second phase.
So the second phase, right at the start of the second phase, with my items already pre-consumed and my resurrection already used.
Yeah,
so things go a bit sideways this time with Blade. It's much harder.
Yeah.
Okay, I get through. Unlock Nico Manero again. My card draw.
Yeah.
I get... So I've got zero heroism, so I can't play any cards with heroics. Nico Manero is a support character and my Hunter's buffed up as a support character. I have three card plays.
Yeah.
I have six cards in my hand. Every single one of those cards either required heroism or was a support buff that couldn't be played because none of my characters were wounded yet, so they couldn't be healed.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. I had absolutely no way to generate heroism.
Yeah.
And I had no redraws left, so there was nothing I could do. I was literally stunlocked by the game with nothing I could do. So I feel like it's a game that gives you a toolbox. Like there's all these tools you've got in your toolbox. Like there's all these consumables I could have used to increase my draws or to give me new redraws or to make me draw more cards and stuff. But it says, here's your toolbox. Choose one tool.
Yeah.
And now take that on all the missions with you. So you get a hammer. Great. First mission, you get a hammer and a nail. Woohoo. Awesome.
Yeah.
Second mission, now you got to put a screw in. Okay. I can do that with a hammer. I'll hammer the screw in. That's great. Third mission, now you got to clean a drain. How can I clean a drain with a hammer? I've got a drain snake in my toolkit. Yeah. There's a drain snake right there. Why can't I just go and get the drain snake and use it to clean the drain? No. You chose to take a hammer with you. You can't. Now that we're telling you you don't have a nail, you can't go back and get the drain snake. So that super pissed me off. Like I was so angry. It was not funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention that this has taken me near on 4 hours of this mission to get to this point.
Doing it again.
Nearly 4 hours of my personal time to get to this point. And there's nothing I can do. There's literally nothing I can do. I've been unable to kill any of the enemies because I've got no attack cards.
Yeah.
I can't stun any of them. There's nothing I can do. So I end my turn and guess what? I get destroyed.
Yep.
So I went, okay. This is so stupid. I'm going to crank the difficulty back down to story level. And I'm going to do it again. So on story level, I absolutely cakewalked the whole thing. It wasn't even a challenge.
Yeah.
And I thought I didn't enjoy it because I was so angry with the game because ultimate difficulty is a challenge.
Yeah.
But the game shouldn't actually literally roadblock you. For a start, you don't play with three characters. Like you've been playing the whole game with three heroes. So you can synergize your three heroes.
Classic thing.
Your whole game.
About. Do the game this way, and then for the final thing, do it completely different.
Yeah, do it a completely different way. Not
master the skills you've used to overcome the ultimate thing. No, we'll just artificially change everything about it and make this a multi. I think what really got me most particularly egregious was that it checkpointed you like halfway through when Blade died and you went back. You should have gone back to the very beginning for you to restart and make different decisions from the beginning to set yourself. Now that you knew what the path was going to be and how it was going to work, because it's obviously different than anything you've done before.
Yeah.
Take me back. Let me repick my things. Understand that I'm going to lose my favorite character, which is just the dumbest thing in the world.
They're not necessarily the best characters you use just because you fight with them doesn't mean you chat with them.
Yeah.
So I didn't care about Nico one bit.
Yeah.
I didn't fight with her at all, but I talked to her the whole time because she's a crucial story character. So my relationship with her was really high.
But was there a story beat for was someone trying to get onto you? That's why they took your four friends?
Do you want me to really spoil it for you?
Oh, I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to play it.
So the whole time you're fighting Lilith, your own mother, because Lilith is summoning C'thon. You know C'thon from the Marvel mythos?
Oh,
he's the dark god that wants to destroy everything. He's Cthulhu, basically.
Yeah.
He's Cthulhu. So your mother's been summoning Cthulhu. She's got this ritual. She's going to summon Cthulhu and the world's going to end. But you're going to stop her. Ha-ha, you've got what you need to stop her. But guess what?
Yeah.
C'thon knew that Lilith was going to double-cross him, so he's double-crossed her, and he possesses you. He possesses your character.
Okay.
So the first fight is your allies fighting you.
Right.
To knock C'thon out of you.
And then...
So you don't even get to use you in the first part of the fight.
And that's why he took your friends. Okay, this is a story beat for why they take
So the story's actually really good. I really liked the story. And they you know, your allies start talking to you about all the stuff that's gone on and remind you who you are, and you get to throw Cthon off and you kick him out, and then he's hovering over the battlefield.
That's a great moment.
He's this giant purple squid, smoky squid hanging over the battlefield.
Yeah.
And then what you need to do is you need to lock him away again by locking the four seals.
Right. And that's where the extra...
Because he's draining the life force out of your four heroes. That's what he's doing. He's draining the life force of your four strongest friends. So that makes him powerful. I mean,
and seeing the familiar relationships, it makes sense not picking the four strongest characters, but the four that your character has developed a relationship with. At least that's like logically inside of the game.
Story-wise, it works. But there's no telegraphing whatsoever to let you prepare for it.
Yeah, that's another gripe of ours is like you got these missions that you don't know what you're going into till you go there, so it sort of forces you to restart
to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a dumb mechanic.
Particularly when they haven't sort of, and this to me is the whole game, is a lot of like janky put together stuff that's, you know, not quite right. Like there's a lot of non-meshing pieces, and I feel like this is another one. Getting Hulk really late feels lazy to me. Like it's sort of like, oh, let's just give them the Hulk because it's like the ultimate character who people can use it to face stomp with a bit of grinding and stuff. But like it's just lazy. It's not, you know, really you – like it's not – I don't know. It's just not well put together.
It's not. Yeah. And the funniest thing is you're fighting in a battle arena with glowing sigils on the ground, your four heroes in – glowing energy trapped in all the four corners.
Okay.
And you've got Cthon hovering over the battlefield in his purple misty form.
Yeah.
There is not a single person on the internet who has not said, this mission runs like a turd.
Oh.
Everybody's graphics cards cannot handle it. Just shits itself.
It is not well put together.
There's too much physics going on. It just shits itself. Completely. So they haven't thought. I don't know what they playtested it on.
It just needed more polish. It needed someone to go back through and look at like when you get characters and how you get them to fix things like this. It just needed more polish to really tighten it all up kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
Classic. Yep. That's a little disappointing.
Super disappointing. And then the end wraps up. The end's kind of nice, but I was so angry at the game I didn't really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's put you off by that stage.
And it does set up a sequel, which is just...
And you beat the whole game on this ultimate thing, right? So you lose that sense of accomplishment of doing the whole thing on
Yeah, because I didn't beat the whole thing on ultimate.
Because you didn't know.
I went back to story mode.
And it's not because you couldn't have beaten it. It's just that it locked you in.
It literally stun-locked me.
Go back and do it all again. If it just put... As soon as that Bladed got one-shotted, which I do kind of hate, but I understand story-wise, Blade had to be the one to open the next...
Open the seal, so the game had to end.
You know,
and I didn't understand why at first.
That's a big problem as well. Like, you know, it should also telegraph to you that, hey, Blade,
Nico, Doctor Strange.
These people are critical for this mission. Yeah. They must survive. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do it. Like, that should be all part of the briefing of the mission, you know.
Well, it does say... You need to open the seals and you need to use your ally you need to close the seals and you need to use your ally to close the seal.
But which ally?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not just anyone, it's a specific character, then that should be like...
Well, and the other thing is...
The reason Blade has to do it.
Is when you close a seal, is it the end of the mission?
Yeah.
Or is it a continuation? In which case, I should have kept my 10 cards.
I don't know why you lost all your cards.
I should have had all my cards and all my heroism.
Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been like building up all this momentum. Yeah.
And
you
get this super powerful deck.
Yeah.
And you can save your God Blessings for when you really need them.
Yeah.
Instead of at one point, I had one card play left and a really powerful God Blessing. I went, oh, well, I'll play it.
See, to me, comic book, as well, like for the medium, right? Comic books are a lot of power fantasy.
Yes.
So like... To me, this multi-stage mission that you slowly built up, like the first bit's really tough. You got to fight your own character, which is a cool little, you know, story mission there, right? So you got to use maybe some more powerful characters because you don't have a lot to overcome that initial hump. And now second mission, now you've got some momentum going and you're building until you eventually you power everyone up because so much of comic books is the whatever hero it is, powering up. They've got to like get stronger. They got to get beaten down so they can come back up and get stronger. And then you just go and win that and overcome it overwhelmingly at the end because everyone's so, you know, built up.
But you're so badly outnumbered and none of your cards can one-shot any one of their enemies. And so usually the only way to get a card play back is to kill an enemy.
Yeah.
And that's not a guarantee. You know, that's like... There's two abilities that will let you get a card play back when you kill an enemy. So if you mark the enemy, you get your card play back.
Yeah.
Or if it's a quick ability, you get your card play back. Quick abilities generally don't do very much damage. And marking enemies generally don't do any damage at all, just marks the enemies.
Yeah.
You've only got three card plays. So if you mark the enemies, you've already used one of your card plays.
Yeah.
So now you only need to have two super powerful cards to kill that enemy.
Yeah.
To get your card play back, which means you need lots of heroism. Yeah. The only way you can generate heroism is by playing cards.
Well, it makes perfect sense then that you would need then to have this generation over of heroism over multiple rounds that you could generate enough to get enough cards. So you can keep using the
powerful card, powerful card, powerful card. But instead, and they give you, so let's say there's level 1 to 10 monsters.
Yeah.
It gives you level 6 monsters, level 8 monsters, and level 10 monsters. Then the next fight, it gives you level 8 monsters, level 10 monsters, and two boss monsters.
Mm.
And so the boss monsters get two actions a turn.
Oh.
So there's two of you in the fight.
Yeah.
There's two boss monsters. Each boss monster gets two actions. So there's now four actions from just two of the 8 enemies I'm facing.
That's a lot of actions.
And they've got nearly 2,000 hit points, and your best damage does 700 damage.
Yeah.
Oof. Your best cards deal 700 damage, and they've each got 2,000 hit points.
Oof.
Again, they cannot have playtested this. Unlocked God mode, so they've got unlimited card plates, or they can choose what cards they want from their deck. They did not playtest this. There's no way they playtested
on they probably did it on whatever difficulty level is the most common difficulty level for people to play the game on. So like if medium is what everyone picks, that's what they tested it on.
Yeah.
And then everything and else was just scaling some numbers, and that was just it, you know, kind of thing. Like you're such a minority of people who play on anything else, they're not even bothering.
But the game 100% encourages you to keep cranking the difficulty up, which would actually be one of my biggest complaints would be that I dropped the difficulty back and it was actually still challenging. It was actually still difficult, but now I could kill enemies in one or two card plays as opposed to needing all three card plays to kill the enemy.
Because they've done nothing more to make it harder, but they just rank up everyone's numbers.
Yeah, everyone's numbers go up. So you're
classic.
You don't do more damage to them.
Yeah.
But they now have twice as many hit points, which means you now need two cards to kill them.
If you went back and then just ground a shitload, right, would that have made a difference?
Could you, like, brute force it? It makes no difference.
Right.
Well, that's not entirely true.
Yeah.
All of your damage is based on your offense score. And each time you get up to level 25.
Yeah.
And then each time you get up a level past level 25, you get like a tiny buff to your offense and your hit points. So I was level 67 or something with my hunter. And so my hunter was doing significantly more damage. So like a shove, for instance, that's the easiest way to say it. There's a shove and my heroes that I wasn't – I took my hunter on every single mission.
Yeah.
So my hunter's like level 62 and everyone else is maybe level 30.
Yeah, right.
My hunter would shove someone and they would do 200 points of damage. One of the other characters would shove them and do 60 points of damage.
Right.
So – there is a noticeable difference with a character that's gone on every single mission, how much damage they can do.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But
so maybe like that's
but if you took
a way you'd have to do
it. So you play the whole game with just three characters, then they'd all be that powerful.
Yeah. Which is no good for that one because you need so many characters to get through the entire thing as well. So you'd have to grind out all the rest of the characters as well, just artificially lengthening the playtime again.
So it was really fun up until the end, but the end really soured it for me.
It's one of those things where if you'd just been on a lower difficulty level, you might have beaten it and had a different...
Yeah, if I'd just been playing it on normal, I would have had a totally different experience because I would have found challenging because it was a challenging fight, but it wouldn't have been impossible.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have got into that stunlock position because I would have been able to kill the dude with less card plays.
Yeah. Yep.
So I wouldn't have wasted all of my resources getting to that point. Yeah,
I don't like the wiping between waves. I feel that's a cop out. That's like them saying, you know, we don't want to tune it to work so that you've got multiple things, but we want to do this massive multi-stage fight. Like there's the push and pull between like a game, like two parts of the people making the game. Like so we want to make this epic thing at the end because it's good narrative and story. Yeah,
and it was.
But the technical people haven't really come along
to really work out how to implement that
properly. Yeah. And, you know, just kind of like,
So I really liked, and then when I played it on story mode and I could unlock everything without too much of a challenge, I actually could see how it should have worked.
Yeah.
But again, when you unlock the seal, you drop all your cards, you drop all your heroism, and then the enemies pop up. But the enemies are a lot easier to defeat. On story mode, the enemies were a lot easier to defeat, so it didn't matter that I had rubbish cards because I could beat them with rubbish cards.
Yeah.
So what it should have done is when you cranked up the difficulty, It should have, it should have powered up your cards somehow.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So, I don't know, something.
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. I feel like resetting it is just.
It feels like it's still 10-pin bowling.
Yeah.
And you still have a ball, but now there's 20 pins you've got to knock down. You still only get two balls to knock down 20 pins.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yep.
You've only got the tools to beat it on normal difficulty.
Yeah.
But now they've got twice as many hit points and they do half as much damage again.
And like the resetting thing, I wouldn't be surprised if that's like hard coded into the game. Like they had to have an encounter reset because that's just how it's coded in. They don't have like something to set up the initial variables to be what the last round was.
Right.
Like, you know, that's what it kind of feels like. They wanted to do this, but they didn't know how to. Or they didn't build, like, it's one of those things, like you build the encounter system to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, we want to do something different. You're like, well, I haven't built it that way. Like I fundamentally don't have the things in here to do it. So you just reset it instead and kind of just like, I wouldn't be surprised if even like those are separate encounters without any like
cutscene
or something. They just sort of like have it pipe you back into the same map or something stupid like
that. Well, no, there is a cutscene when you play, because when you play the card, you get a cutscene.
Yeah.
But then the cutscene finishes and you're still in the last turn of the game.
Yeah.
And you've got to end that turn to start the next turn. And that's when all the new enemies spawn in. So I think you're right.
I think they've got some weird thing going on to make that all
and the cutscene drops all your cards off and drops all your heroism out.
Yeah. And so the last turn is probably really just a hacked version of a first turn of the next map's thing that you're gonna be playing out. Yeah, something, it feels that kind of jankiness in it as well. So close, but yet well, pretty close still.
So value for money. I definitely got value for money, but it super disappointing compared to my expectations. For the company that released it.
Who was it again?
2K. So it's the XCOM guys. Borderlands and XCOM and Borderlands.
I'm thinking of Take-Two, not.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Rockstar people, not 2K. Yeah. No, you're right. Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Borderlands stuff is particularly. Like, I love Borderlands, don't get me wrong. But I have a lot of same sort of complaints with that I do with this kind of thing of like, it's so close, but yet it kind of really tends to fall in a few spots kind of thing. I don't know whether there's like, I don't know what could possibly be the cause of something like that. But yeah.
So when it's still
a thumbs up, Tony? Or
no, I'd say get it. If it's $15, it's worth it. But if it's more than 50, I only paid $36 for it.
That's not too bad.
Which is not too bad.
Yeah.
And I got 120. 5 hours of gameplay out of it. It's not bad.
It's still, when the game makes you mad because of bad things like that, it's always such a, you know, you get mad at a game because you get mad at yourself because you did something stupid.
Or
whatever.
That's different from when the game actually stun locks you out of it.
Yeah.
You have no cards you can play and you have no equipment you can use. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't like the whole like leaving stuff on the deck. Like you can only bring one thing on a mission when you've got all this other stuff. It's like, do superheroes not have pockets? Like, what's going on here? You know, like.
Oh, and the other thing that they've done.
Yeah.
Which I knew before this Nico Manuro mission, which is why I didn't bother replaying it, is all the card order is completely constant. So if you go back, if you reload an autosave.
Yeah.
You'll get exactly the same cards in exactly the same order.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's really good. When you're playing on the difficult levels, that's really good when you mess up.
Yeah.
Because you know what cards are coming, so you can prepare for them.
Yeah, so the deck must be stored and shuffled in a certain way kind of thing.
So I did use that to my advantage in a lot of the lead-up missions.
Yeah.
But it meant I knew that I was going to end up with exactly the same cards in my hand, no matter what I did, and I was going to just get in exactly the same boat. And there's nothing I could do about it.
Makes sense for like an autosave to be in that kind of order rather than restarting, which you'd expect it to be shuffled and re-dealt out again kind of thing. Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Marvel Midnight Suns, another one down.
Yes, another one down.
Anything on the horizon next that you've sort of been eyeing off?
Well, not really, no.
Not yet? Okay. Okay. Well, something we did give a bit of a crack was Pulsar Lost Colony. Which is effectively, I realize what it is because you know there's obviously we all know Star Trek and there's Star Trek Bridge Crew, which is a VR game of like piloting a Federation starship. This is the Orville's version of
Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Bridge Crew kind of thing. Because I think, like, I think I'm pretty sure in the Orville, the Colonial Union is the
It's a name of
is the thing. Yeah, I should have looked it up, but I'm pretty sure. Like, it sounded really familiar when I heard it the first time. I'm like, oh no, wait, this is an Orville show. Even though the ship, it's obviously not, because the ships and everything are all
completely
all different and all that kind of stuff, you know. But there's certainly a lot of like reference. Anyway, so Paul Solis Colony is a sim, and alluding to the start of our show. It's a starship sim of like you taking on a Star Trek ship.
Yeah,
you need 5 people to run the ship. You need a captain, of course, pilot, engineer, science officer, and weapons officer, as you do for any Star Trek crew. Each one definitely has unique things that need to happen in order to play the game. It's not something that you could realistically play by yourself. I mean, I tried
playing it by myself with bots.
Yeah, the bots aren't very good. The whole game is a bit janky. Well, I don't know if janky is the right word either. Like,
it's no, it's you know not when janky.
Well, it's that, I guess. This is a problem, maybe it's a sign of like what it is today, but like most games, when you play them, you recognize them. The UI is kind of the same.
Yeah.
The way they operate, the settings are kind of the same because they're all kind of built on Unity, Unreal Engine. Maybe there's like 2 or 3 other ones. Ubisoft's probably got their own engine. You know, they're all kind of familiar. This thing made me install VC++, an old framework, before I started playing it, which was a huge red flag that like this game is fully custom. Like they've built it on some Microsoft tech stack, I think, or something like that. So like none of the option, like, and I guess the reason you use Unreal Engine is like a lot of the stuff is kind of done for you. It's there. Yeah. When you got to like build everything yourself, it kind of gets a bit odd.
In a way,
you know, kind of thing.
Well, so, and this feels like it's actually, it wants to be played in VR. Oh, because all those screens.
Yeah.
In the game, the screens are all like floating in front of your face.
Yeah, yep. And it's got full HOTAS support as well.
Right, yeah.
You know, so you can, I think when I made the joke about the Bridge Crew VR, this is a knockoff version of that. They want you to play this potentially in VR and go full sim.
Yeah.
Full sim on this kind of thing. And so, so you have the 5 players. It looks really cartoony. The graphics aren't amazing, but they're fine.
No. Yeah.
And you have these screens around the ship, all around the ship. You know, some are like general status screens for like the whole ship.
Yep.
Some of them are specific role-based ones. So I did the engineer. So I was in charge of, power allocation.
Yep.
You know, I could turn off, say, oxygen supply, which was fine for me because I was a robot. So when the humans got a bit lippy, the oxygen just got turned off. That gives you more power that you can then redirect, you know, into shields and into weapons.
Or warp drive.
I've got to turn the cooling on and use up coolant to cool the drive. I've got to charge the warp core, ready to go sort of thing. So like, you know, to give you an example of like how everyone needs to sort of work, when you go to move to a new system, the captain has to pick the destination.
Yeah.
The pilot has to line up the ship with the destination.
Yep.
The engineer has to charge the warp core and then press the button to jump.
Yeah.
The science officer has to be ready to scan the system when you arrive in case there's any enemies. Yeah. And the weapons engineer has to be ready when you get to the next destination in case there are enemies you need to be fighting and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think the weapons officer probably has the least amount to do because it's very obviously combat.
Yeah, focused.
Kind of focused.
Yeah.
But I think
which is why there's an upgrade things I think are in the weapons area. So the officer can upgrade stuff while they're not doing anything else.
Yeah, right. Okay, maybe there's some stuff there. But certainly, like, there's a few things to get you busy. And so when we start getting into a fight, you know,
spaceship combat is very difficult.
Yeah, there was, like, you know, the engineering area was all on fire. You know, so I was trying to put out the fire, then it got out, and then it caught back on fire and burnt me alive in a second, even though I'm a robot. I'm very susceptible to fire.
Yeah.
You know, and just a lot of stuff going on. I think like the science officer can run like boosters for the ship.
I boosted the weapon AI. Damage and the shields.
Yeah. We got boarded once because we attacked one of the ships and they teleported onto the ship. They teleported
onto our ship.
Yeah. Had to fight hand to hand, not hand to hand, but with guns and stuff. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's very much, it's not a roguelike, but it's very much, until you work out how the systems work, you're going to die a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's, no. There's not a roguelike because you definitely have save games and checkpoints and stuff like that. But yeah, so like you
were doing very well when we weren't getting into fights.
Yeah,
we're getting into fights on Well, fights on land are much easier. It's traditional first person shooter stuff.
You know, kind of thing.
It was straightforward.
Really, unless you get crushed by an elevator.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. Yeah.
No problems. Yeah, and then, like, that's fine. But when you're in the ship, all of a sudden there's so much going on so quickly. And we only had four. So we were missing a captain was doing double duty, and piloting.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you've still got to target ships before you can fire at them. The pilot has to, like, line up the main cannon with the ships and, like, rotate and move
around. Well, and also try and put the belly of the ship to any incoming fire, which is very hard.
Yeah.
Because that then takes all your guns off the enemy.
Yes.
So you want to load your missile racks. So while you're loading your missile racks, the pilot wants to keep the guns focused at the enemy ship.
Yep.
And you fire your guns at the enemy ship while you're loading the missile racks. Then you fire your missiles and then you roll while your missiles are traveling to the target. And then hopefully they don't roll as well as you do and they take the hit from the missiles and you take any hits on your belly.
Yeah.
Then you have to roll back, reload the missile racks.
Right.
There's so much involved. Meanwhile, the science officer can report on what's damaged on the enemy ship and can also try and upload viruses onto the enemy ship to disable their systems.
Yeah.
So the science officer's got a lot to do in combat as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot of scanning and stuff.
The captain can – so all the stations have multiple screens. So the captain can do the backup bit.
Yeah.
So the science officer can be looking at how much damage is done to the enemy ship and can also be trying to upload a virus.
But
the captain can do one of those roles, which means you can do both roles at the same time.
Yeah.
Or the captain can be helping the engineer do the engineering thing. About the only thing that – captain can't do is help pilot the ship because it actually goes into a different interface.
Yeah, you kind of
use one of the weapons. It can use the engineering.
I thought there's a talent for in the engineer tree. You can also unlock like use main guns and things that as well.
So you can start to flip as required,
maybe the end weapon is like dealing with borders so someone else can go to the main gun and like go there. But then someone has to watch the engineering station to make sure we don't overheat or anything, you know. Like
There was a lot going on in ship combat.
And just trying to understand all the different – but like there's very little in-game explanation on how any of this stuff works. There is like a manual you can read. There is an academy that you can go to practice stuff, but nothing really beats that like
– Yeah, you got to actually live environment. Understand.
Yeah.
And I went back and got a ship – because I tried the pilot first and struggled. It's very – maneuvering is not intuitive. It's not a game. That's why I said to simulate another game.
Well, yeah. Flying because
moving
space
the ship
is,
around is quite complicated.
I think it's – from what I played it, it's also fairly realistic for space in that, like, a ship doesn't fly through air.
No,
like a, So flipping the ship around and things like that and rolling and things become a lot more important because you don't have that sort of –
You've got no direct, no gravity. No, you're falling down.
Yeah.
So then I swapped to the science officer. We're doing all right. Then we died. But then – so I went and played by myself and I got into a fight.
Yeah.
I got into a ship-to-ship fight with two enemy ships who called in a third enemy ship.
Oh.
And I survived.
Yeah, right.
But I had an automated – everything else was automated. I was only piloting the ship.
Yeah, right.
So I had a bot doing the gunning, a bot doing the science vessel. But I worked out how to fly the ship in combat, and it's quite complicated, but it makes a big difference to your survivability.
Yeah, well, I could see
if you can fly the ship properly in combat.
Because I was watching you on a screen, I could see that, the gun was pointing up here, but the enemy was below the horizon, and you could see Josh trying to point the ship down, and it's like, no, you got to roll the ship, and if you just rolled the ship, then the gun would come into bearing. So the pilot has to be really aware that, like, where the enemy is that you're targeting, whether they've got the lineup. And now you mentioned the belly of the ship as well. That's a lot to
consider. A lot going on.
Yeah.
And when I found out, so Josh was amusingly asking me, is the maneuver hold or toggle? And I had no idea what he was talking about because I hadn't got it working at all when I was the pilot. I worked out that that's why I was having so much trouble piloting the ship because the maneuver is a hold, not a toggle. And when I held down maneuver in the combat, it makes so much difference when you got your maneuvering thrusters on instead of your steering thrusters on. You got so much more ability to control what the ship does.
Yeah, right.
So, it's hold and then you can really do the roll, the pitch, the yaw. You can move
it around.
And it's so much more responsive.
Yeah.
Rather than just lazily, and I worked out the sliding side to side is the maneuver thrusters.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, that's really important. That was the most important thing I learned when I piloted solo.
Yeah, interesting. Or somewhere at the point as well, like for space combat, two joysticks. is actually the way to go.
Because that gives you the full keyboard and the mouse.
Yeah, like if you were going to like go for a kind of thing, like two joysticks, so you have that full pitch, your roll, all there ready to go, would be really cool. Yeah, okay. Although it does look
Terrible. It looks terrible.
Got a lot. They've done a good job, I think, of trying to.
It's very engaging.
It felt very much like I was on a Federation ship.
Yes.
Like it felt. I just finished watching. I'm just watching season 3 of Picard at the moment as well. So I'm like writing like Star Trek stuff at the moment as well. So it was like very much like, feel like all these things are like very much, I've got to charge the warp core. And sitting there watching that, and then you're like, okay, well, it's doing the calculations. If I get some more power to the science and give some more stuff down, that'll
do the charge it faster.
So you get through the next bit, but you're getting hit. So it's taking more out of the warp core because you can't charge it up as you're trying to get away. And I'm like, oh, what are we going to do next?
And the other thing that was quite good is you didn't all have to sit together in the hub areas. We all just ran amok everywhere, loading quests left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So
it
means you've got no context for half the quests you're doing, but that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
When you go and do the quest that you're the one that unlocked, you know what your context is and you're enjoying that quest more.
Yeah, that's it.
But we had quests coming out from everywhere.
Yeah, the station has heaps, and I suppose there's more. A little bit more about like that. There's like a map, a galaxy map with a whole bunch of stars.
Which is enormous. I had no realize how big it was. Galaxy is big.
And then it's all factional holdings inside of that. And then there's also some sort of alien presence, which is, ravaging different parts of space. We haven't really got to that part of the story, but that's sort of the thing. And so the idea, it's in the name, got to find the Lost Colony. Lost Colony, yeah. So you've got to go through, explore, find data fragments. You find four of them. That unlocks the map, which then takes you to the Lost Colony. And you
win. Theoretically.
Theoretically, I guess it's how it works.
Yeah.
Is the kind of the point. That's the driving thrust.
Yeah.
But as the game says, is like, do you want to do that?
Do whatever you want.
Do you want to cause chaos? Yeah. And the more chaos you cause, cookies. The more like, the whole thing devolves.
There's actually
the
more a chaos rank.
So like you get attacked more, factions start fighting more, the more chaos you have. And I guess maybe there's an advantage to that for you as well. If you pick like the, there's a bunch of ships you can pick at the start that you want to do, whether you want to be a part of the Colonial Union or some of the other factions. One of them is the
Fluffy Biscuit Company.
Fluffy Biscuit Company. And so one of your side objectives is that you have to sell biscuits wherever you go throughout the galaxy, for that sweet, sweet corporate profit.
Yeah.
Which is great. I guess I love this because it's just different. I've never played anything like it.
It's very different. I want to get back to it, actually.
I wanted to play Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Yes.
But because it's VR only, I kind of never got a chance to look into it. The only thing I guess that annoys me about it is it doesn't look like Star Trek. None of the interfaces have the Star Trek kind of look. They're all super duper basic. Yeah. They are like, this game was written by...
It's Spartan. It's very Spartan.
Developers, and there's very little creative on the team, unfortunately. Even the the character models and stuff. There's quite a bit of customization, but it's all a little bit naff. Yeah. It's definitely about the gameplay on this. Yeah. We did find out, too, you got to probe all the asteroids and stuff when you arrive into a new system. There's a huge asteroid there. The science officer can send out a probe. To probe the mineral, and that then finds you things. That's why they're there, kind of thing. Shoot them with a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, we shot everything with a gun to see if it would shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, how do you mine? Oh, and I work out how to pick up stuff. The wreckage of the enemy ships. You fly through the wreckage of the enemy ships and it just comes on board.
Yep.
And then you've got to turn the big crates in the cargo bay into scrap by, there's a little mini game you got to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a double click mini game. You got to click to start the bar moving and then click it again.
That's like the middle. Firing the main gun, you got to click and hold and then release when the circles overlap. Yeah, okay. And then you get 100% damage rate, or like that focuses the lenses, stuff like that. There's a few little mini games about that. I mean, I guess the whole, warp core, it can produce a certain amount of power and you can set the levels for the four main sections of the ship, and then you got to add coolant, if it wants to go, and then you can also turbo mode, and let the core degrade, you get more power out of it, and then ultimately, if you need to, there's a big lever you can flick in the engineering thing, which ejects the warp core,
which you is desperately wanted to do.
I almost just did it just to see what happened. But I thought it was a roguelike and it would end the game. I didn't know we could just reload and go back. But yeah, yeah. So that's yeah.
If the combat wasn't quite so frenetic, so I think if we upgraded our chip a bit more, so we had more survivability in combat, I think I would really get into it.
Yeah,
because there's so many systems. But as it stands, we had pea shooters for guns and clad wrap for shields. So we were getting trashed by the level one enemy ships.
Yeah, and I think we didn't really know what we were doing, so there wasn't enough. Like, there should be more stuff we should have been doing when we were just flying to like the next quest.
Yeah,
we were just bouncing through systems. There really should have been more we were doing in each system as we went through, probably getting more stuff and being more interesting.
Yeah,
you know, kind of thing. But we're kind of missing. At least you can too, like when you jump between systems, you know, you still got to charge the warp core, line it up, and jump. And then after a few seconds, you can just choose to skip the rest of the journey, which is really nice. So you're not waiting. It depends. Like sometimes we were doing things.
Yeah, upgrade. You can. Yeah, that's when you can down turn the scrap, turn the cargo into scrap, and you can upgrade your guns and the upgrade station. And there are things to do on the ship while you're traveling between systems.
But if you don't, if you wanted to just go there, you press a button and you just arrive at the destination, which is a very nice quality of life feature that kind of thing added in. Looking forward to playing it again.
Yeah, so am
it's hard to get five people together at the same time to play something. So
yes, it is.
Hopefully let's get one more PlayStation in before next episode when we're all a little bit more familiar with what's going on. It's going to be really interesting to see what we do. Yeah.
Yeah, how far we can get.
Yeah, that's it. That's
what,
it.
What did we say? Mm. I give us an hour before we're dead.
Oh, yeah.
59 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yep, he called it. Boom. Yep. What got us? Oh, we just got shot, didn't we?
We got into a space fight.
Yeah. And a couple of space fights. We fought one of our own ships.
Yeah.
Once, whoops.
Yeah. And our reputation went down. That's right. We got in the fight with those three little ships. We got two little ships and they summoned in a third one the first time and we died.
Yeah.
The second time we died, we found that huge pirate ship.
Oh.
And we were trying to run away from the pirate ship and it just destroyed us.
Boom.
Yeah, that was the second time we died.
Yeah.
We knew we were outclassed and we were trying to run away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when the fire was in the...
Oh, yeah.
So you were charging up the warp thing, but then the fire burned you, so no one launched the warp.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, fire, so I'd switched to the fire extinguisher running to try and find you.
Yeah.
And you were already dead. And then by the time I got back to try and press the launch button, it was gone.
The ship was
blown up.
And then I realized too, there's a panel... In engineering, I probably could have done it from engineering, but I'd only been using the bridge one, so I didn't really, you know, because you can just live
in your section
do it. But obviously, you sort of, I don't know, you just missed the view out the big porthole and porthole. What is it? The
plexiglass,
kind of thing.
And we got to try a different ship too.
Yeah, just see
and
what
do some upgrades is. and it. As I was getting more into it, it had a real faster than light feel where you collect the scrap and you upgrade your ships and you find new components to put on things.
Yeah, it feels like a bit like that. You know? I guess it just lacks that because it's not a roguelike. You don't have that kind of constant pressure necessarily. Forwards. You can just take your time, be slow. Like there's no – the only limit – I mean, you do have
Well, we didn't get out of the blue sectors, remember? We were only in the Federated Union sectors or whatever it is, Galactic Union sectors.
Yeah.
So we didn't go into any other sectors.
Yeah.
Because the galaxy is huge.
Huge.
And the colors, like where you start, the core is all blue.
Yeah.
And which is your
fashion. Well, I guess my moment where ship you start with, maybe you might change what your starting location is as well. Because I can imagine the Biscuit Co. probably starts in the biscuit
area
kind of thing. Because your only limit to travel around is how many fuel pellets you've got. Which you can just buy from traders and things, you know. It's kind of a limiting factor. You can do a blind jump if you get stuck.
Yeah,
But that just puts you potentially anywhere in the galaxy kind of thing, even next to a star or something like that. Yeah. So that'll be fun to try
and
once.
It's got a little bit of a Mass Effect feeling that there's a planet and there's one thing to do on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit of a Mass Effect feel. But that's all right. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, they don't mess around with trying to make these planets bigger and full of something. They're just like, no, there's a thing. You teleport to the thing. You teleport back to the ship.
Done. That's finished.
There's no like... needing to do massive grand explorations or anything like that. Or if there's a space station, you just get close
enough. You don't even have to dock. You just get close enough to it.
And you just teleport on, you know. Yeah, because there was that abandoned station we went to as well once.
Yes,
just
with the rats.
Over.
And I didn't know why I was dying.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't see the rat at my feet was eating me.
Yes, you thought we were shooting you. We were shooting you.
The
rat that was behind you.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there's no friendly fire. Just Only death can come is from lifts.
From lifts being called.
They do have. To be fair, you weren't even in the building when I called that lift.
No, you weren't. But I was running to see where you were.
I didn't even see you die. I was looking out somewhere else waiting for the lift to come down. All of a sudden, Tony turned around. And I'm like, the lift is down and Tony's like icon is right there. And I'm like, yeah, he got squished. Now, while there was only that one spot to go to, that tower thing, whatever we're looking for, the medical supplies, I did some exploring and I did find like a little XP canister and I think I found something else as well. So
that green stuff you found was on the second level too. Yes. But I didn't feel compelled to go and collect it.
No, neither did I, whatever. She blew up anyway, so whatever. Yeah. But like there is like at least some exploration things.
You were rewarded for exploring.
Inside of the confines of this one place, there is some stuff to, you know, keep your eye out for at least, which is good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Weird XP too. Like 5 XP's a level. It's so strange.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it though.
Yeah, you're continuously leveling, which is quite nice.
And like you don't need to get like 15,000 XP and you're getting 1,000 XP. It's like you're just giving me higgly piggly numbers. Like, you know, you might just take away all those zeros.
Yeah.
And just do it that way instead. I don't like
3.
It. Yeah.
5.
Yep. It's novelty. I don't mind it. You know, you get 1 XP. That's terrible. Oh, wait. Hang on. It's 3 XP. It's 4 level. Okay, that's fine. That's a good chunk of XP, isn't it?
It's a good chunk of my XP. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. Well, that's Pulsar Lost Colony for this week. I'm looking forward to playing it again.
Yes.
Bring us some more reports. And I think that's all we have for you this.
That's all I have.
Fortnite. That's it. Okay. Well, looking forward to hear what other thing you pick up.
Yes, in the interim.
Between now and then. I'm just going to play Satisfactory again. It's been too long.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yeah. Well, I've been waiting for Update 8 to come out, but
they're taking their time.
No, well, they're not. They made the move from Unreal Engine 4 to Unreal Engine 5.1 because it brings quite a few updates to the engine, makes loading tiles and things much nicer, a bunch of other stuff as well, but they underestimated how long it would take them to do it. You know, retool like all their tools to work with the new thing and whatnot. And I think at this point as well in development for them, judging from the comments from the level designer who's doing a full repass of the entire island and making it all look final and stuff, but the whole team, everyone's just a little bit like, it's been 5 years. We just want to get it out the door. Yeah. Having this like huge push at the end to redo this, something that they weren't sure they were going to do because they're like, we built it on 4. Like 5 wasn't even out when we started. Yeah. Like, but they figured like it would bring them extra stuff. So I think they're working really hard, but like this update is really done. So I started again because I've just had this itch that I can't. But I did I made a completely different style of base. I've got like multiple factories all over the place and I'm using zip lines to get around. It's so much fun. Just never really used zip lines in the first one, but they added in a new thing where you go faster and you can get up a mad clip. So now it's like this whole mini game of traversing these power lines I'd put down and like learning the path that I'd made through all the environment to get the stuff and then bring it back again. Be like a little my own, you know, personal train, just picking up resources and moving them around. I'm like, that's a whole new aspect that I didn't even realize. God damn it! It just factory must grow. I'll see if I can find something else between here and next Fortnite. I do got a big list of games. Going to have Baldur's Gate 3 soon?
Yes, soon.
Very soon. Can't pick something too long then because I need to be ready for that.
For Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, until next week, until next Fortnite. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.